I had been adopted by my paternal grandparents at the age of 12 because I couldn't flourish where I was originally planted. It was a very abusive, violent situation, traumatic, to say the least. But suddenly I was removed from all these negative things happening in my life and to my sister. And there we were, transplanted into a loving home, a place where we felt safe and cared for. And outwardly, I changed 180 degrees. Before, I was in detention and delinquency and not doing well in school. And suddenly, I was doing well in school. I got involved in sports. I was a quarterback from our football team, on and on. But when I would end the day and sit quietly, all of a sudden, this hollow, empty feeling would come over me, almost like a blanket or a fog that emerges without you seeing it. And I could not figure out what was going wrong here. Suddenly the negative was gone, but I didn't get catapulted into the presence of things like flourishing. I had that haunting void and emptiness in my teen years. And I wanted to understand that and find a way out. I thought I could out-success and outsmart my trauma if I kept moving forward and accomplishing after accomplishment and prove my worth to the world, because the other script that was written into me was that I was not wanted here. I don't belong. I'm not needed. Nobody cares about me. Why would people do what they do to a young person like myself and my sister if I somehow don't deserve to be treated like this all my life? And so I spent my whole life, and I'm still healing. I want people to know that we may be broken, but there is a path out. There is a formal diagnosis, and I used and I developed, much like psychiatry uses for mental illnesses, a way to diagnose the presence of good mental health and its absence, which I call languishing. And so I'll give you an example of some of the things that are in my questionnaire. So it's not just a matter of whether you're not feeling happy or satisfied or interested in life, right? That's part of it, right? You're not feeling much of anything good. But along with that, you have at least a deficit in and of 6 out of the 11 signs of what we call functioning well. So you, in addition to not feeling happy or satisfied with life very much, if at all, your life has no direction and meaning. You don't like most parts of your personality. You don't have a sense of belonging to anywhere, to a community, somewhere in this world. You don't feel that you have anything to contribute to other people or your communities. You may not feel confident to think and express your ideas and opinions. You may not feel that you're being challenged at all to become a better person. Those are just some of the things that would be missing in a person's life that's languishing. Now, there's degrees of languishing. Well, you could have it mildly, moderately, or severely. And of course, those degrees matter greatly in terms of affecting how well you're able to function in life and all the risks that come along. Because a lot of risks for some very bad things happen when you stay languishing too long. So languishing is a very normal reaction, but if you stay there too long and you don't deal with the situations or the conditions that sort of emptied your sense of meaning, it will lead to all kinds of problems. Not the least of which, throughout your adult life, it puts you at risk for something as serious as premature mortality. If you languish too long, it increases your risk for mental illnesses. This happened during the pandemic. Like, for instance, a study in Italy of frontline healthcare workers showed that if they were languishing during the pandemic, their risk of PTSD increased quite high. But if they were flourishing, mentally healthy, they were protected. The same thing happened among people who had depression and anxiety. If you were languishing before the pandemic and it hit, and you weren't depressed or anxious, you were much more likely during the pandemic to become depressed or develop an anxiety disorder. But if you were flourishing, you were protected. People who were flourishing, who had bad days, had far less negative mood than those who were languishing and had the same stressful days. Isn't it? It's amazing to me. I could go on and on how there's just something about languishing that allows too much of life to come in and overwhelm you, while when you're mentally healthy, truly what I call flourishing, you can deal with it. You can manage it. Most of us end up languishing when we can't live to be the person we always wanted to be. And that person that we wanted to be gets replaced by a person that we never imagined we could become. Right? And sometimes you think you want all the outward signs of success. There's examples in the book of people who talk about that. Well, I have everything you could imagine that should make me feel happy and flourishing, but I'm still struggling with an unsettling feeling, a void. They talk about a void in their soul, and they say, I feel like I'm dead inside. And everyone's looking at them thinking, oh, you're just an imposter. You're pretending. You've got all the accoutrements of success. But what they're really saying is, those things don't bring my life meaning, purpose, belonging, contribution, and growth. I thought they would, and guess what? I was wrong. And it's hard to admit sometimes that I was wrong. I did that too. I thought all this success would solve my past. No. And I got there and I realized, well, your success could just be, it can disappear. It can go away overnight for some people. And then what are you going to do? One of the five vitamins for flourishing that I talk about, those are all activities that I think almost anyone can do some of them. The first one, where we need to plant a flag and say, no more. There's only so much you can ask for of me, world, is the spiritual/religious vitamin. It's very important that to helping people who are depressed or languishing begin to move out of it. And it's also one of the ways in which people who are flourishing stay there. They engage more regularly in doing something spiritual and something religious. And I know we could have a whole different discussion about the depravity of institutionalized religion. But let's just stay focused on what both of those things have in common. When they're practiced, every one of them have an ethical, moral orientation. It's not just that you sit down and meditate. Meditation is just to prepare you for an ethical path of practicing to become a better person for other people. Same with yoga, which I practice and has kept my integrity more intact, not perfect. But you can't just do yoga poses and expect to benefit spiritually. You have to study the philosophies, because every religious spiritual orientation isn't about just quieting your mind. That's preparing you to move in the direction of becoming a better human being for the world. We focus so much on becoming a better person than other people. That's the external path I talk about, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the spiritual, moral, ethic, religious path is the most obvious vitamin that you can practice that says, I can and need to become a better person for other people. And when you do that, you are taking a stand against the world that doesn't really care. They just want one thing out of you: your work, your skills. People call it extractive capitalism. You can call it whatever you want. It's a trade-off. But I will say to everyone listening, now in here, the ultimate choice, as Viktor Frankl told us, was to choose my attitude. And whether I'm going to say no, you do not get to take that from me. You do not get my soul. You do not get my integrity. You don't get to take away my values, my morality. And that's where you can begin, taking a stand, morally and ethically practicing that vitamin. Well, another way in which you can take a stand, right, in this world that I think seems to want to take away that person you want to be and replace it with something else,
yeah,
is really working on connection. We're talking a lot about connection and relationships and problems of loneliness these days, and for good reason. But I make the point in that there's three indicators in my conception of languishing and flourishing that are really important when you think about connecting better. And that is, prioritize warm, trusting relationships. If you don't, right? Quality. This is all about quality over quantity. The second is, prioritize a sense of belonging. There is a place and a community for all of us. We haven't found it, or we need to work on all of ourselves to create a more inclusive space where people belong. And then the third is this sense of mattering, or what I call social contribution, that you're needed by other people. Because when we're needed, we feel necessary and we do good things. We feel like good people. The modern world is hard on people because it makes us all feel, from the beginning of our life, unnecessary. And we need to fix that. So, connections are where we feel necessary, needed, a part of something. And I just read a Deloitte Consulting survey from 2023, and almost 50% of employees said they don't have time for their family and friends. They don't have time. So again, we're trading in the things we need to flourish because we don't realize we're giving our entire life to somebody or something else called the corporation or the job. And I'm not trying here to judge that we don't all need work. But who said that work required us to sacrifice everything? Our well-being, our family, our friends, our belonging, our sense of mattering in our community. And it seems that we're just giving that away without even knowing it. So that's the second vitamin. You take a stand and you say, in my life, I want on a regular basis to be around people, places where I belong, I matter, and where there's warmth and trust. You just reminded me of a study that I talk about in the book about three medical specialties that are very demanding. So they have a lot of challenge and a lot of demands, one of which is obstetrics and gynecology. And what the study found was it wasn't the level of demands or stress adversity that you experienced that determined whether you languished or flourished. It was whether you worked in a supportive or unsupportive work environment. So if you're working in a very demanding place, you can deal with it. If you have connections with your employees that are calm and pleasant and you get along, where your coworkers understand we all have bad days, where you have coworkers and bosses that say, I'll be there when you have a bad day and I know you'll be there for me as well. And then they have collegiality, trust, warmth, and all these other good things. It's not that people can't do hard. It's just that they can't do hard when there's no care or concern or warmth or relationships. And our mindsets are so important. I love the research on mindsets. They're not the answer to everything. They're not the solution to everything. But boy, I've had to learn to keep my mindsets in check. Because like when I was talking about this chapter in play, I found out that some people don't play because they think it's a waste of time. And when you see something as a waste of time, even if you do it, you won't get the joy. And it's amazing the mindsets we take to all emotions. We don't want the negative stuff. We just want the positive stuff. But some cultures in the Far East encourage, well, you always have to be prepared. Every day is a mixture. Don't get too happy because you're going to also experience sadness and other negative emotions. That's life. And I had to learn this. I couldn't deny my trauma. I had to turn around and stop looking in my rearview mirror and deal with it because those negative things kept coming back and I didn't want to experience them. And the more I pushed them away, the stronger they got and the more gravity they had on me. And that every time I was flourishing, suddenly something would come along and boom, I would be totally derailed, off languishing again. And I would wonder, I'd look around and say, how did that happen? I wasn't prepared. Now I'm a little more prepared for, you take the good with the bad.